Well, good morning. This is the Faith Radio Network. We are so excited to welcome author and teacher Max Lucado this morning. Max is the minister of preaching at Oak Hills Church in San Antonio and the author of many, many wonderful books. His latest is just in time for Christmas this year. It's titled Because of Bethlehem. Max, good morning and welcome to Faith Radio.
Good morning to you, and you're so kind to allow me to be on the program. I really appreciate it.
So I got to start off by asking you, why do you love Christmas so much?
Well, I love Christmas. I just everything about Christmas, the colors, the travel, the parties, the excitement. There's something about Christmas that just it sure just causes me to smile. I start smiling in about mid-November, and I keep a silly grin on my face all the way till after Christmas. And there's the obvious, there's the surface reasons, you know, just to see family and eat great food and be with friends. But beneath it all is the message of Christmas, the message that God is for us and that God is with us and that God died for us. All these wonderful, heart-changing messages, that's really what makes Christmas so special to me.
Do you have any favorite Christmas memories from your childhood growing up, Max, or any special Christmas traditions that your family observes these days?
You know, my favorite memory from childhood is actually one I tell about in the book, Because of Bethlehem. I grew up the son of a mechanic, the son of a nurse. My dad was never one given to a lot of romance. He's a great father, but not much sentiment. But one Christmas I can remember, I was probably 4 or 5 years old. It's one of my earliest Christmas memories. He had a big box in the corner of the room behind the Christmas tree. It sat there for 2 or 3 weeks before Christmas, and no one knew who it was for or who gave it. And it turned out that on Christmas Eve, my dad told my mother that the Christmas present was for her. She began opening that box and pulling out paper, tissue paper. Finally, the box was nearly as big as she was. It was a huge box. She finally got down in there, and she found a tiny, tiny ring box. And my dad had bought her a ring for Christmas. And we thought that was so fun. Of course, I had no idea what the ring, I mean, you know, I didn't, you know, who wants a ring for Christmas would have been my thought. But my mom loved it, and it was it still is a great family memory and a great family story.
Now, Christmas time is really supposed to be the joyous celebration of Christ's birth. But why do you think, Max, it can be such a painful holiday for so many people?
You know, it's funny how Christmas makes the good better and the bad worse. There's something about Christmas that makes the good better and the bad worse. You know, the good times with family just seem even better, but the bad experiences seem even worse. And this is true for a person who might find themselves in the hospital at Christmas. Maybe you buried somebody that you love more than life, and this is your first Christmas alone. Maybe it's your first Christmas since the divorce. Maybe you're unemployed this Christmas. And so what's bad or what's difficult is even worse at Christmas. And I think it's because every time we come into Christmas, we come with expectations that it's going to be a happy, joyful time. And maybe this Christmas is a reminder more of what a person doesn't have rather than what they do. And so to those people, I, of course, my heart goes out to those people. We've all been there. You know, I can remember the first Christmas after my dad passed away. It was just a sad time. But we can claim the promises of Christmas on those difficult Christmases maybe more than any other time. You know, the promise that God understands us, he became flesh and lived with us. The promise that God hears our prayers. The promise that God forgives all our sins. Sometimes those difficult Christmases give us an opportunity to really reflect and go deeper on the meaning and message of Christmas than ever before. And those Christmases, God can redeem those, even though they're difficult. He can redeem them, and he can use them to draw us closer to him.
Now, Max, in your new book, Because of Bethlehem, you talk about seeing God's face in Jesus. Can you explain how truly wonderful and amazing that is?
I wish I could. I don't know anyone who really can, but boy, all of us give it a go, right? Preachers and poets and authors, we give it a go. The thing about the Christmas story is it's so outlandish, just so outlandish, so unbelievable. And to think that there was a time in which a peasant girl in a map dot of a town on the outskirts of the Roman Empire in a smelly stable held a baby. And she was weary from the journey. Her husband may have been sound asleep by then. He was worn out. But there was a moment in history in which a young girl looked into the face of a baby and said, "Now this is God. This is God." She knew it was a miracle. She knew that she experienced a virgin birth. And she looked into the face of that baby and said, "This is what God looks like." To me, that's just a moment that it really defies words. I can't begin to describe what that might have been like. To know that, you know, now we know the angels were watching. We know the wise men were coming. We know the shepherds were nearby. But most of creation, of humanity, by and large, didn't get the moment. They missed it. They missed it. But sweet Mary, she did not. Joseph did not. I think that's what makes Christmas so magical and mysterious and wonderful, is we, for all we try to understand that moment, we cannot. But it doesn't keep us from trying, because it's the most, one of the most beautiful moments in the history of the world.
Mm. Max, here's one of those deep theological questions that I guess everybody would struggle with. Did God take on human flesh in order for us to know Him, or for Him to know us?
I think for us to know Him, and for us to know that He knows us, I believe that God is omniscient. I don't believe there's anything He had to experience that would give Him a better understanding of who we are. I don't think that He, when Jesus, you know, arose from the grave and then ascended into heaven, I don't think that He spoke to the Trinity and said, "Now, hey, there's something I learned while I was there." I may be wrong, but I do think that you know, that the book of Hebrews says that we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who is in every way has been tested like we are, except without sin. And so one of the purposes of the incarnation is to encourage me to pray and to say, "Okay, God understands. He understands what it's like." You know, when I woke up this morning, I spent a few minutes in prayer, and I thought about today, which just for whatever reason is a very busy day. It's not crazy busy, but it's a busy day. But in my heart, I thought, "Jesus, you know what it's like to be busy. You know what it's like to have demands. You know what it's like to have maybe overextended yourself, and because I've overextended myself many times. And so, Lord, would you help me? Would you go ahead of me today and give me strength?" And because He became flesh, I have confidence that He understands that. Had He never become flesh, I think I still would know that He would hear my prayer, but I might think, you know, he may wonder, "Get over it, Locato. It's not that big of a deal." But since He has felt that and been here and lived on the earth and experienced everything that I experienced, yet without sin, then He understands. And so it causes me to pray with more confidence, more boldness, and more peace.
Mm. Our guest is Max Locato. His new book is called Because of Bethlehem. We'll take a quick break and be right back here on the Faith Radio Network. Welcome back. This is the Faith Radio Network. It's Bill Meyer with Max Locato, and we're talking about Max's brand new book for Christmas. It's called Because of Bethlehem. Max, you've written several books on Christmas in the past. How would you say this one is different from some of the others?
Well, this particular book, from beginning to end, is all about the Christmas experience. Some of the other books I've written talk about the incarnation from a more, I think we might say, a theological viewpoint. This book I wrote especially for the person who doesn't have time to read a book at Christmas, but they want to. I tried to make it lighthearted, I tried to tell as many funny stories as I could think of, and I've had a lot of odd and curious experiences at Christmas. But I tried to, in each chapter, zero in to some of the promises of Christmas. And that's why the book is entitled Because of Bethlehem. I asked the question, because of Bethlehem, how is the world different? How is the history of the world on a different trajectory because of what happened at Bethlehem? And so I hope it's a book that people who are busy, who typically don't have time to read a book, but they want to have a Christmas, they want Christmas to be more than just about presents and Christmas trees, but they want to go deeper in understanding it. I hope they might try this book, Because of Bethlehem. Maybe read a chapter a night leading up into Christmas, share a Christmas chapter with family and friends, or read it out loud at a dinner. And see if it doesn't help you experience really the true meaning of Christmas a little more deeply.
Hmm. Can you explain, Max, how the Christmas tree actually represents our adoption as God's children?
Absolutely. And speaking of funny stories, I tell that story in the book about how our family went down to pick out a Christmas tree, and it when our daughters were small, we always made such a big deal out of that and whole experience. And it occurred to me that everything I did for that tree, God has done for us. I picked out a tree, the one that would fit just in the right place, just like God picks us for particular assignments in life. I purchased the tree, just like God has purchased us and paid the price to take us home. I took the tree home and I mounted it, and did my very best to get it straight. All of a sudden, we realized that the tree wasn't straight, no matter what we did. And I adjusted the Christmas tree stand a dozen times, and we could not get that tree straight. Finally, I realized that the trunk was bent. It had a bend in it. And I've wondered how many times God has to straighten us out because we have a bend. I had to actually take the old Black & Decker and cut off part of the trunk. I'm grateful that God doesn't use a Black & Decker on us, but He does trim us, you know. He does shape us up, and sometimes the shaping is a bit painful. And then once we had the tree straight, then we decorated the tree. And I think God does that. I think He delights in decorating us, you know. He gives you gifts. He gives me gifts. He places a star over us, places the presence of Jesus around us. And the whole purpose of a Christmas tree is to bring light to a dark corner and be a place where gifts are distributed. And I think that's a pretty good summary of a Christian. We're to be light in a dark place wherever we go. We can bring light and encouragement and the presence of Christ. We can also be a place where gifts are found, that when people interact with us, they find the gift of grace, the gift of forgiveness, maybe a little wisdom or insight. We can be a place where we're almost like a depot, a depository of wonderful Christmas gifts. So I think the Christian can find a lot that he or she has in common with a Christmas tree.
Mm. Max, in the book, you talk about the fact that Christmas begins what Easter celebrates. For those folks that maybe aren't really familiar with the gospel, can you flesh that out for us?
Well, Christmas and Easter are the two big holidays for the Christian. And I realize that many times we complain about the commercialism of both holidays. And we can find ourselves distracted on both holidays and miss the meaning of it. But we don't have to. We can make a decision. We're going to try to understand both Christmas and Easter. And they are twin holidays. I mean, there would be no Easter if there wasn't Christmas, and there would be no Christmas if there wasn't an Easter. Because Christmas is the story of the cradle. Easter is the celebration of the cross and the empty tomb. And what began in the cradle is the birth of Jesus Christ. You know, many parents, when they look at a newborn, they say, "Oh my, what a perfect baby." I don't know if Mary and Joseph said that, but if they did, they were spot on, because Jesus was the perfect baby. He experienced everything about being a human, except he never sinned. And yet when he died on the cross, he died a sinner's death. All the sins of the world were placed on him, and to the point that he experienced what a sinner would experience when he died. He experienced separation from God. He even cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He was placed in a tomb, just like we'll all be placed in a tomb. But then he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. And he demonstrated first power over the tomb, but he demonstrated also that he has power to bring us out of the tomb. And so what began in the cradle was culminated in the cross and in the empty tomb. All events work together to give us the gospel that God loves us, God understands us, God came for us, God saves us, and God is coming back to redeem us.
Mm. Speaking of his coming back, how does Jesus' first coming point to his second coming? You call it Bethlehem Act 2.
Yeah. Well, we call Christmas Advent. I had been on this earth for 20 or 25 years before I ever thought, what does Advent mean? I had to ask somebody. Advent simply means coming. And so Christmas celebrates the first Advent, or the first coming of Christ. The promise in Scripture is that there will be a second Advent, the return of Christ. And just like the first one, the second one is going to involve Jesus Christ. And just like the first one changed the world, the second one is going to do even more, bring about a change in the world. Both involve Jesus, both will change the world. But beyond that, there's not many similarities, because the first one, Jesus came quietly. The second one, everybody's going to see him. The first time Jesus came to save the world, but the second time Jesus come will bring judgment to the world. The first time Jesus came and as a baby, almost with a whimper, you know, with a cry of a baby, the second time he's going to return with a shout, a declaration, a trumpet, and every eye will see him. And so the first Christmas warms our heart, but the second Christmas, or the second Advent, stirs us. The promise of that Advent stirs us to be ready for the return, because Christ came the first time to save the world. He's coming the second time to judge the world. And we want to be ready and look forward to the return of Christ.
What a beautiful promise for all of us. Max Lucado is our guest. The new book is called Because of Bethlehem. Love is born, hope is here. Max, thank you so much, and may God continue to use you mightily in your ministry.
You're so kind to have me on the program, and happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and all the very best to you.